live from the Jukebox Junction Restaurant here in Bethel, North Carolina. It's the Brett Chappell Show along with head football coach Brett Chappell. This is Chad Upton. Pisgah getting their ninth win on the season last night against North Henderson. That group gave us a great game, really, in a lot of ways. Very efficient quarterback that was able to move around and do a lot of different things and presented maybe some newer challenges for us. But Pisgah found a way to overcome a deficit in the second half to score 10 unanswered points and go away. 13 unanswered points to go away with a 10-point lead and win last night over North Henderson and extend their record again out to 9-0, still in pretty good shape as far as everything else is concerned. But I guess, Coach, first question for you this morning is, how do you feel about everything coming out of last night after that huge win last week against Tuscola and having to kind of fight a little bit and claw a little bit to resurrect that will that we talked about last week and get that next win for your team?
You know, it was important for us to get that win, obviously the first thing. I don't think that we continued moving forward like we have been. I thought we probably took a couple steps back last night. A lot of that's due to North Henderson. I'm not going to be that coach that's going to sit here and talk about how bad we played. When, in essence, they played really good. Kellen Ensley, the quarterback, was somebody we had talked about last week that we were very concerned with. In my opinion, he's one of the best athletes in our conference. Yeah. I said that on the onset of the season. He certainly proved that last night multiple times. The thing about him, as he is playing quarterback and moving around in the pocket, he's so tall, he can see over top of his linemen, so he's still looking downfield for his receivers as he's scrambling. And certainly with his athletic ability and speed and stuff, he kept plays alive for a long time until his receivers could get open. I was certainly disappointed in the way we tackled last night. I thought we had a number of missed tackles. And there were some other things that, as a coach, you look back on and things that we've got to fix and get better at. And there's some things that were bright spots as we came out. But I thought North Henderson played really well last night. I'm certainly not going to take anything away from them and their kids. I thought when it got time to have to make that push to win a ball game, I thought our kids, rose up to that occasion, and we were able to score some points. I was actually looking at it. We scored in every quarter last night. I think we scored 7 in the first, 7 in the second, 9 in the third, and 14 in the fourth. We continued to put some points on the board, but we shot ourselves with some turnovers and some things that are uncharacteristic of us right now. But, again, these are things that we can fix and certainly we'll have to as we get ready for Smoky Mountain next week.
You had a weird week, too, because you only had the 3 days of school. So you guys had the work day, the optional work day on Monday, then you had the designated day on Tuesday, and then you didn't get the kids back into class until Wednesday. So the next question, I guess, would be, what was the feel of the team around practicing at school this week coming out of that big win last week but also having that short week of class?
Very concerned as we came into the week because of the, like you mentioned, the 2 work days, so the kids were out of school. We were pretty sore and banged up from the Friday night before, so yeah. We actually went out in helmets and shoulder pads and shorts. Mm-hmm. To try to lighten us up, did a little bit more conditioning, try to get some of that soreness out and not bang as much. We got heavier on Tuesday and went back to full gear. And had a little bit of a scrimmage on Wednesday, which we never do just because I didn't feel good about those first 2 days. And the scrimmage part was really good on Tuesday or Wednesday. I thought the kids did a really good job. I thought they were dialed in. And, as we came into the game on Friday, warm-ups went good. But, it's hard sometimes as a 16, 17-year-old kid to come off of such a big win like that and to refocus. And when you have one or two that's not dialed in, it starts affecting everything, and you see some frustrations kind of mount a little bit, and not only on the players, but you see it as on the coaching staff as well. And we were scrambling, just trying to find a way to get stops. And hats off to North Henderson and Kalen Ensley. I thought he played a tremendous game, gave us everything that we could handle. I'm certainly appreciative that our kids stood up and we're able to come out of there with a win, but got to get back to work on Monday and work on the things that we didn't do well on Friday.
With the coldest nights we've had so far, and you had a stiff breeze that was coming out of the north, so you were at a disadvantage if you're going towards the north end zone last night, and certainly it was a little bit different. You think that had anything to do with what we saw?
I don't. Both teams were having to play on both sides of the field. I saw one pass that Tanner had threw last night and hung up, that the wind caught it and just jerked it back. Yeah. And I remember that play specifically. Tanner's kicks last night, especially on kickoff, when we were going towards the wind, we started getting him to drive them low, keep them out of that wind. And again, there were some bright spots, some things that we did. We had two rushers over 100 yards last night. We had Tanner had 130 yards passing. Obviously, we had three fumbles, maybe four fumbles, and we lost one. Also had an interception. So again, those are things that we've got to do better on. Tackling, I mentioned already. Missed an extra point in there. We got to get better at that. And again, things that we haven't seen. As when you have seasons like we're having, you're going to have a game or two in there where it's going to be a little bit of a struggle and not come as easily as what one might think. It's one of those things that we'll learn from, and hopefully our kids will rise to that occasion again.
Back in terms of stats from last night, of course, you mentioned some of those. One of the big stats that I saw by our count last night, we had 7 sacks. So you were at times able to get some pressure on him. And you had a tendency to kind of sit back there, and they moved him around some in the pocket and did some different things. But when you were able to create some things, too, and getting some pressure, and you're doing some different things with Michael, too, to generate some of that pressure, I think, particularly in the second half.
Yeah, we made a few adjustments up front. And how we tried to attack him. Obviously, anytime you get upfield on a mobile quarterback like that, you're opening up running lanes. And I can tell you, that kid one-on-one with our best people, we couldn't get him down last night especially. So it was a situation where we had to do a really good job trying to keep him contained, and sometimes we lost that contain and, gave him windows of opportunity, and he burned us for him.
Yeah. Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
This is Dr. Richard Jones of Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, a department of Pardee Hospital. I've been caring for Haywood County residents for more than 14 years, specializing in shoulder and sports medicine. Our orthopedic office in Waynesville is staffed by board-certified, fellowship-trained physicians with a weekday walk-in injury clinic. Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics proudly supports Pisgah High School athletics. For more information, go to PardeeHospital.org.
Chilly weather feels good, but winter's coming. Hometown Hardware has everything for heater tune-ups, from portables to stovepipe. Those popular John Deere toys are in, and take a look at the latest craze, adult coloring books. You'll also find piles of lovable Beanie Babies in all sizes looking for new homes. All at your big box alternative, Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. Ask about opening a Hometown Hardware credit card.
Good news for anyone wanting to buy or sell a vehicle. May Motors is ready to help. May Motors is on Radio Hill in Canton between Hardee's and Rite Aid. If you have a vehicle to sell, May Motors will buy it. If you're looking to buy and they don't have it, they'll find it. All makes, all brands, all models, and all years. Stop at May Motors on Radio Hill in Canton Monday through Friday from 9 to 6 or call 828-734-8515 for Chris or Tyler.
Back this morning with the Brad Chappell Show again. Pisgah winning last night over North, scoring 37 points in that game. And talking about some of the players and some of the things that you want to see, we just briefly mentioned going into the last break, Michael Parrott's night. Obviously, we did some different things with him up front. And I had a chance to talk to him after the game. He was our player of the game last night. And again, had a chance to talk to him a little bit about that, and did a great job in that interview, by the way. But did some different things with him defensively up front. But he was Johnny on the spot when we had to have him. We had to find a way to get some scores there in the fourth quarter, and had a tremendous night, up over 100 yards. So, Michael Parrott really came up big with that will, again, that we talked about last night, and big reason why we were able to get that victory.
I thought when it got there in the fourth quarter, we were trying to run some clock as well. I thought he did a really good job running the ball, extending plays, with his legs. Yeah. Anytime you have that happen, you become concerned about a ball being stripped out and those things. And, I thought he had really good control of that last night. And he helped us gain some extra yardage, that we wouldn't have had. I think if you watch him on the first contact, he's a kid that's going to get 4 and 5 yards after the first contact just with his drive. And certainly that was the case last night. We had a sophomore that came in J.D. Bridges to help fill out a slot there on the offensive line. And J.D. came in and did a good job for us as well. You know, it's something we'll have to look at on Monday on the adjustments we need to make if we try to – if we have to bring a J.D. up or if we can, you know, leave him down. We used 3 quarters last night. Obviously, we've got 8, so we're still sitting there with 5 left to use on him before we have to make a decision. And, you know, thankful that we had him. He did a good, solid job for us last night. And then, you know, we'll get back on Monday and make some decisions on what we need to do moving forward.
And I'll certainly brag on you guys last night. In that fourth quarter, and I think it was within that final drive, and we've got that 3-point edge or whatever, and a turnover could mean they get the football and have a chance to score and win right there. But on that final drive, I remember 3 play calls that I thought were excellent. First, we ran a smash route to throw out into the deep flat with Trey cutting back over the middle and drawing in the secondary and leaving some open space out on the edge on a third down play. And that's typically a play that you run, I think, inside the red zone. And then, again, when we needed Michael to get some yards on a big third down, he got 15 yards or something on a carry. And then everybody in the stadium on Wyke's touchdown run thought Michael was going to get the ball, probably turned out to be Tanner that kept it and scored. So you guys, I thought, did an excellent job of coaching there, particularly in that fourth quarter on that final drive, to make some huge conversions to give us that 2-score lead late.
You know, I think, you know, you're talking about the smash route. Tanner actually hit Houston on the play, which was a huge first down. You'd mentioned that they had kind of bracketed Trey a little bit, and Houston had come free underneath, and you know, Wyke made a good read. Houston made a great catch, got the first down. It was important that he knew where the sticks were and got, you know, by them before we got tackled. And then the other situations with the other two plays, obviously with Michael and of course with Tanner as well. But those are plays that you have to make in games that are close like that. And you know, the one thing we did talk about at halftime, you know, we were not going to sit back and try to protect a 1-score lead. I think that, you know, when you get in situations like that as a coach and you're trying to protect a lead and not going back out being aggressive, you find yourselves 9 times out of 10 losing late in the fourth quarter.
We see it in every level of football.
You know, so we came back out, you know, we told them 14 points wasn't going to win the ball game. We didn't feel like that, you know, 6 points was all we were going to hold them to. And in both of those cases held true last night. But, again, there were some good things that came out of it. I don't want to seem negative. I think as a coach, sometimes we become really critical of every play. And, you know, certainly there was a lot of things that we need to get back in on the video with and correct and fix and do a better job of next week. But, you know, again, we come out and we're 9-0. You know, we got ourselves set up nicely with 2 games to go, 2 tough games. Two games with quarterbacks who'd like to throw the ball, so our secondary again is going to be tested like what they were this week, and you know, we'll have to do a better job as our preparation goes next week to get ready for senior night next week down here in Canton.
I told Chuck and Ron last night that at the end of the game that I thought that the more looks you get from teams during the regular season, the better you're prepared for when you get to the playoffs. And you're already alluding to that. You're going to see some guys that are going to go back and look at film and try to pick up on some things in terms of the throwing game. But, you know, even in a difficult spot, you know, what happened last night can really, for good teams, only serve to make you better, because we're going to see teams as we go down the line here in November. They're going to want to throw it around a little bit, and they're going to have athletic quarterbacks that are going to be able to move around. So, you know, that's one of the good things that comes out of last night too, isn't it? A chance to get a look against your defense that maybe you hadn't quite had yet so far this year.
You know, it is. You know, it certainly will show you flaws, things that you need to work on from a personnel standpoint to a coaching philosophy standpoint. Again, those are things that we'll have to get back in and try to correct. I did want to say thank you to the fans and the people that did show up last night. I was very disappointed, you know, coming away from the Tuscola game and having the stands full, and to come into last night's game and we were probably half full. I think our fans need to understand that our kids ride that emotion that our fans can give them, you know, when we've got a good crowd. And I was very disappointed last night, and I don't mind saying it. We had some people who stayed home and listened to it on the radio, and I know that it was a little bit colder last night, but You know, we've got a team that has played well, played their tails off. They're 9-0, and I feel like we need to be supporting these young men more so than we did last night. I certainly hope as we go into the last home game of this season for senior night that we have more fans that decide to come out to see our kids play.
Yeah. Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTO.
This is Chad Upton for Pisgah Barbershop in their new location. Take a short drive out Pisgah Drive and enjoy plenty of store-wide parking. Inside, Pisgah Family Barbershop's well-known hospitality with Ken Warren and Miranda providing excellent haircuts for men, women, and children. For style and convenience, you'll be a regular at the new location of Pisgah Barbershop on Champion Drive across from Burger King at I-40, exit 31.
This is Dr. Richard Jones of Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, a department of Pardee Hospital. I've been caring for Haywood County residents for more than 14 years, specializing in shoulder and sports medicine. Our orthopedic office in Waynesville is staffed by board-certified, fellowship-trained physicians with a weekday walk-in injury clinic. Southeastern Sports Medicine and Orthopedics proudly supports Pisgah High School athletics. For more information, go to PardeeHospital.org.
Few scores we want to catch up on. First in the West, 3A, High Brighton a winner over Freedom last night, 53-0. Burns a winner over Drawn, 31-0. Of course, we talked about last night Tuscola winning over West, 56-0. Kings Mountain 24-3 over Chase. Watauga beating Patton 49-7. And again, those are all teams that could be featured in the West bracket. Potential Midwest bracket teams: West Rowan, who we were projecting as potential number one seed in the Midwest, losing to Concord last night, 41-32. South Point a winner over Lake Norman Charter, 48-0. Forest View beating Ashbrook, 27-13. Cuthbertson beating Anson, 28-14. It was Northwest Cabarrus, 16-14 over Carson. Ashboro beating North Forsyth, 31-7. Jay Robinson over East Rowan, 49-23. And then Ford, Fred T. Ford, beating Hickory last night, 32-14, and we were spending some time trying to break down those brackets, and we'll continue to look at that as a broadcast crew as we go through the rest of the year, but still plenty of work to do. And so when you get a chance to start thinking about getting ready for next week and next week, Smoky Mountain Brevard are going to present plenty of opportunity for us, but they're also going to have some difficulties there for us too, because those are two pretty good teams right now with two programs that have been on the rise this year, Coach.
Yeah, I think you look at Smoky Mountain, and certainly we'll address them one at a time. You look at Smoky Mountain and you've got a coach that's come in, a new coach that's got a lot of energy, a lot of buzz, had a lot of success, especially early in the season. I know they had a tough loss last night, which had playoff implications for our 2A part of our conference. But know Chris very well. Coach Brookshire does a really good job of getting his kids together and rallying. He's one of those players coaches that the kids enjoy playing for. I knew that he would get the numbers up there. I think the numbers had dipped down a little bit on their participation, and you look at his sidelines and you can see they're full. I think that's one of the things Chris does really well. His kids have been riding off a lot of momentum and energy. I know they're coming off a loss last night, but got a good football team. Quarterback's a NC State recruit for baseball. Mm-hmm. Got some really tall wide receivers that create some problems. Got a good back that's close to 1,000 yards, if he's not over 1,000 yards. So, again, we've certainly got our work cut out for us. And then hopefully once we get by this game, we'll be able to talk about Brevard a little bit more next week.
Yeah, so again, Smoky Mountain coming up this week, and you mentioned it being on senior night before going on the road. And then we got a week, and we talked a little bit about that. We had some situations, obviously, with Hurricane Matthew, where there's teams down east that have missed at least one game. I think there are several teams that have missed two, maybe even three games. So the playoff structure is going to be pushed back a week, and the announcement's going to come the week that ought to be the first round, which is the week, I think, of the 11th. And then the first round's going to start the 18th, with the second round happening on Thanksgiving weekend. So that will create a bye for the teams that don't have a game to make up. That would certainly include us at this point, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves right now, but that's going to be an interesting situation right there with the playoff bracket structure starting a week later, isn't it? And I wonder what that means in terms of how teams are going
to
prepare.
You know, as we get to that point here in the next couple of weeks, obviously you're going to have a week before your playoff week actually starts. You know, the things that you're going to see for coaches, the things that they're going to deal with, we may have a guesstimate of possibly who we will play between, you know, one or two teams, depending on what seed we may get, you know, at that time. But being able to try to prepare for two or three different offenses in a week's time, you know, we'll have to sit down and really take a look at, you know, do these possibilities of these two or three teams, are they similar in maybe offensive styles? Can we go ahead and at least get to work on that type of offense or defense as well? And it may be something that, you know, we have to drop back and just say, all right, we're going to use this week as, you know, going back to a lot of basics and fundamentals and trying to sharpen those things up as we get ready for that week next week. To find out exactly who we play so we can start preparing the way we usually do. So, you know, a lot of things will come into play during that week. Certainly it's something that I've never dealt with as a coach. I do think that the state made the right decision. I think you got a lot of teams that, because of the flooding down there, still haven't had an opportunity to make those games up. And I think that's probably the only fair way to do it. We certainly don't want to see kids having to play two and three football games in a week. They can't do that physically. I can't imagine having to mentally get a team ready as well to try to do that. So I think they made the right call. I think it, you know, a lot of teams are going to have to make adjustments, but I think that's just part of it.
Coach, you mentioned before Coach Brindley loves to watch film and pick up on things. I mean, have you had the opportunity or have those things been coming in? Are you seeing some teams that you don't normally see from down east at this point? Is that something that just has to wait until we get to that point?
It does. You know, we've not, other than just kind of like what you have been doing, is looking at scores. You know, we'll pull up a local newspaper down east and just kind of read about stats and, you know, see what some of the players are that some of these teams are having. Obviously, High Brighton, somebody that we, you know, we have our eye on. Obviously, West Rowan, Burns.
Right.
You know, some of those teams that are up in their conference standings. So, again, those things will kind of play out as we go. You know, the big thing for us is to put ourselves in a situation to at least get a coin flip for our number one seed. You know, we've got to win these last two to give ourselves that opportunity. A loss in conference, you can't drop. You know, obviously we played the endowment game, but you can't drop a conference loss.
Right,
so
right.
These
right.
next two games are huge and important for us as far as seeding goes. And, you know, we would like to be home for as long as we can be, and hopefully that will give us an advantage.
So you still, obviously we've talked about this at this point, certainly have we control our own destiny in a lot of ways other than, you know, what High Brighton does, because they're still undefeated. So what you're saying is that if both teams, Pisgah and High Brighton, were to go into, or any other two teams that are 1-2 and are undefeated in any of the brackets, doesn't have to be us, does it come down to a coin flip? You don't look at point differentials or any of those kinds of things?
It does come down to a coin flip. Obviously, if you have a non-conference loss and you play an endowment game, you're going to be able to drop it. So you actually, you know, as a record, we would go into the playoffs, if provided we were able to win the last two games, we would go in with a 10-0 record.
Right.
When in essence we played 11 and
right.
won 11.
Right.
But they only take in, you know, the 10 number. So you're 10-0, 9-1, whatever you may be. And I had a situation like that back in 2008 when I was at East. And we had lost the first game of the year, and then we won the next 10, so we were able to drop that non-conference loss. We went in at 10-0. East Lincoln went in at 10-0. They did the coin flip, which we have a representative from our coaches association that actually does that. Jim Taylor was the gentleman that did it for us back in 08, who used to be the longtime coach at Shelby.
Uh-huh.
He did the coin flip. East Lincoln won the number one seed. We took the number two seed. You know, we were home for three rounds of the playoffs, and then on that semifinal game, the fourth round in December, you know, we had to travel to East Lincoln. So if you're able to advance, you know, on through, obviously if you're that two seed, you'll eventually see that one, unless they get knocked off or vice versa. So, you know, that's how they will handle it. It doesn't go back to point differentials or any of those things like that, and it's kind of cut and dry, and you're kind of, you know, you're at the mercy of a coin flip.
Real quick before we go to the last break here, are you in favor of this system that's going to show us in the first round, at least, with the West playing the Midwest and kind of going back to these pods? This is the first year we've had this particular situation in play.
I really can't make a comment on it because I haven't seen the bracket come out with the teams just yet. I think they're continuing to tinker with the playoff system and trying to make it as equal for everybody as they can, not only on competition but on the drive and the travel as well. So we'll see. You know, obviously they're going to seed the number one teams in each conference, you know, that as one seeds, and then everybody else is going to go on record. So I think that bodes well, obviously, for some teams that are – Tuscola's a good instance. For a team that may have only one loss, you would think and assume that they would get a pretty high seed in that number two slot. So, again, a lot of variables that are still out there that we just don't know about. And, you know, as we get closer to it, I'm sure we got a lot of prognosticators that will go through and be able to pick out some things better than I can.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Chilly weather feels good, but winter's coming. Hometown Hardware has everything for heater tune-ups, from portables to stovepipe. Those popular John Deere toys are in, and take a look at the latest craze, adult coloring books. You'll also find piles of lovable Beanie Babies in all sizes looking for new homes. All at your big box alternative, Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. Ask about opening a Hometown Hardware credit card.
This is Chad Upton for Pisgah Barbershop in their new location. Take a short drive out Pisgah Drive and enjoy plenty of store-wide parking. Inside, Pisgah Family Barbershop's well-known hospitality with Ken Warren and Miranda providing excellent haircuts for men, women, and children. For style and convenience, you'll be a regular at the new location of Pisgah Barbershop on Champion Drive across from Burger King at I-40, exit 31.
Back this morning with the Brett Chappell Show again. Black Bears last night a winner over North Henderson, 37-27, and again got to reset now and get ready. So is there anything that at this point that you want to put in, that you want to think about? Do you take your team and kind of, you know, resettle everything to focus on these last two games? Because you're absolutely right, we can talk about all we want to about what happens later on, but we absolutely got to take care of business again the next two games against them, two real opponents. Do you have to reset your team, you think, at this point after last night?
I think as we finished the game last night and talked to the team afterwards, I think everybody was under the same umbrella, and we felt like, you know, that was certainly not our best game. There were some things that we needed to do better. The things that we had talked about to the team and preached about all week last week were true, you know, especially in how good that quarterback was. And you get a quarterback like him, and sometimes one player is good enough to beat you if you're not careful. And certainly that young man was good enough to do that last night, had us on our heels on numerous occasions. I think I hope our kids understand the urgency of making sure we're as prepared as we can be, not only physically from the practices, but mentally as well, all the way up to game day, you know, all the way up to you get ready to walk out of that tunnel and go on to that field at 7:30 on that Friday night. So it's going to be senior night. Certainly excited for those guys and their parents. You know, they've been doing this for a long time with their kids.
Sure.
You know, we want the best for them as well, and hope to have a good game, but hope to have a good crowd to support our kids. I know I'd mentioned that earlier. And, again, those are things that a coach loves to see, and, you know, hopefully we'll have that on Friday night.
As far as health coming out of last night, we saw Tanner get dinged up a little bit, got back out there two plays later. How do you feel about your health right now?
Health-wise, we came out pretty good. As a matter of fact, we're hopeful that Jason Fabio gets back with us Monday. I think Justin Davis has got another appointment next week and possibly putting a cast on him and getting him back in ready to go as well. So, you know, we're starting to get to that point where, right, where we may get one or two back. We didn't come away with any new injuries last night that, right, I was made aware of.
Right.
So, again, we'll check these guys again on Monday and try to get back to a little bit of normalcy with the school schedule and hopefully get our kids dialed back in.
If you can answer, what was that concern that with Tanner? I never could make out what was actually hurting him last night.
I got twisted up. Lower back was bothering him. I know it's something he's been fighting a little bit throughout the season. You know, kind of got twisted around as he was going up through there. Of course, yeah. Tanner's not the biggest kid either. And, you know, certainly was concerned with him. And, you know, was glad that he was able to get back out there and play. And, you know, we have a lot of kids that are dealing with different things. You know, obviously Tanner was very frustrated last night, not being able to wrap up the way he wanted to. He's wanting to take that cast off. And those are things that we're just dealing with, and certainly, you know, we feel his frustration as well. We're just thankful that he's able to play for us, and you know, we'll get better as we come in on Monday and address some things. But again, just got to regroup and get ready for Smoky Mountain next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. 6:30 airtime next week with the Black Bear Cafe preview. 7 o'clock with the Crompton's pregame. 7:30 kickoff again from the stadium in Canton. Coach said it. We got to have a big crowd there for senior night next week. Then we'll be right back here at EM for the Brett Chappell Show next Saturday morning. For head coach Brett Chappell and Ryan Castle in the studio, Flea Market's next, and this is Chad Upton. So long, everybody.